So let us get back into the thick of things. Okay, so previously, we're dealing with Ksuba Del Raisa De Rabbanan, and particularly the question of is the Ksuba, particularly according to the Rambam, is it Del Raisa, is it De Rabbanan, right? And our maskana was basically there's the idea of it being Del Raisa, there's the idea of it being De Rabbanan, but the Rambam's approach is this kind of hybrid idea. Right? There's like you sow this principle that a sort of manifestation of the commitment to the relationship is fundamental to Ishus, right? It's Lisa Isha b'ksuva b'kiddushin. That's the mitzvah. It's similarly, right? The Isser Kidesha is below ksuva, right? Not having a relationship without a ksuva, without the commitment. However, right, the idea that that commitment needs to be manifest as a monetary contract, the Rambam says, is only derabanan, right? Shelo tei kal be'in av lotzia. So the idea of shelo tei kal be'in av lotzia is a fundamental part of the relationship and the Torah's conception of kiddushin, right? And kiddushas ishus as opposed to kilagshus and znos. However, the fact that the monetary contract is the way that we manifest that commitment is only midrabanan. Okay, that's the way the Rambam put it. So now let's just kind of take a broader look at some of the rights of drabanan, right? The shittos on that. How do the Rishonim and the other Rishonim take that? Right, we saw the Ramban said it was drabanan. Rashi came out in favor of Doraisa. And number two is, are there really echoes of this idea, right, of the commitment being like a critical part of the Ishus? Does that really hold true, not only according to the Rambam, but according to other Shittos as well? And if so, how do they, see that playing out? Okay. So if you look at the Gemara. The Gemara writes, "Rav Shimon ben Gamliel Omer, Ksuvas Isha midor amina Torah, Umi amar Rav Shimon ben Gamliel hachi, Vatanya, Kesef yishkol kimoha habtulot, Sheyehei zeh kimoha habtulot, Umoha habtulot kazeh, Okay, now it's a very interesting formulation. We quote Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel as saying that a ksuva is doraisa, but then we say it can't be that he says doraisa because he says this line, right? He makes this like drasha kimoar habtula, right? The knas is like the mohar, the ksuva, right? So therefore, you see that ksuva needs to be 50, chamishim kesef, and right, mohar is like a ksuva. But then he says, "Mikan samchu chachamim lichduvat isha min haTorah." So the samchu chachamim is a lashon of derabanan that it's a smachta. Right. On the other hand, min haTorah kind of implies right doraisa. So it just these like two, these two lines themselves are just like very kind of contradictory. And I think that it's very important to note that. Why? Because when what are we doing? We're trying to say that even wherever you kind of stand on the exact issue of ksuva deraisa derabanan, right? There's this kind of I want to say it's not an ambivalence, right? Or a very clear sort of embrace of the concept, right, as being fundamental. So this lashon of mikan samchu chachamim l'ktuvat isha min haTorah, on the one hand, is kind of moded that it's samchu chachamim and it's an asmachta. On the other hand, right, why are the chachamim trying to, right, be somechet min haTorah? Right, they can institute it, but why is it like, why do we have to kind of say that it's min haTorah? This idea that there's this in-between state, there's this liminal place of it might not be doraisa doraisa, but it's like kind of doraisa, right? Or it's coming from the Torah, even though it's not doraisa. And we'll try to explore what that means. But that's not just happening in the Rishonim. I think we've done a very good job, or my father's done a very good job of showing, according to the Rambam, right? That's exactly what the Rambam thinks, right? And not only is that the Rambam thinks that it has like meaning midoraisa, he thinks that it's actually a requirement midoraisa, even though the monetary manifestation is only derabanan. And that doesn't just start with the Rambam. Even here in Rabbi Gamliel's, Braisa, we have like a very clear indication to this sort of ambiguity, right? This intentional ambiguity in favor of a min haTorah samchu chacham. Rav Shimon Gamliel omer, k'tuvat isha eina midivrei Torah, ela midivrei sofrim. This is el epoch. U'may chazeti ipcha bebraita, epoch kamaita. Okay? So why switch the braita? Okay, just right to review, we have this maimer, where the Tanakhama says, makes this drasha, right? And it says, samchu chachamim l'k'tuvat isha min ha-Torah, okay? Meaning, at least according to the way the Gemara is reading it, that it's Doraisa. Rav Shimon ben Gamliel then says, k'tuvat isha ina midivrei Torah is not Doraisa, implying that this means that it is Doraisa. The samchu chachamim l'k'tuvat min ha-Torah means Doraisa, but it's midivrei sofrim. Right, so we're going to say, okay, let's switch it. Let's switch the who says what. And Rav Gamliel is the one who said, Samchu Chachamim L'Ksivas Yishim Min HaTorah. And right, the other Tana is the one who says that it's Midivrei Sofrim. So, Ma'echaz is De'ibcha Braita, Ibuch Kamaita. Why are you switching this one? Why not switch the other? Hashem Ina, Ina Leila Rav Shimon Ben Gamliel, Da'amak Tuvak Yisham Midoraita. We already know that Rav Shimon Ben Gamliel holds the Raisa. So that's why we should assume, right? We should switch. Right, where we align the contradictory gear south, so that Rabbi Shimon Gamliel is the one who says that it's all right. Ditnan, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer, Notein la mimaot kaputkia. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel is the one who says that you give the superior currency. Okay, now that whole issue is a fascinating one, but it comes down to if you think Siva's Doraisa, right, the Gemara says if you would give, you would pay it in superior currency. Okay, so when in doubt, basically, it would follow the better currency, okay? Nafkamina, like, are you paying in, I don't know, are you paying in ruble or are you paying in euro? Ibayatema, kula Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel hi, or you could say it's all really Rabbi Gamliel, v'chizur ramech sa'el v'chiktani, mikan sa'el v'chomim v'ktiva iti shumin ha-Torah, k'tivat almana, ena midivrei Torah, ela midivrei sofrim, Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel omer, k'tivat almana, ena midivrei Torah, ela midivrei sofrim. Okay, so Rabbi Gamliel dafka, is the person who said both of them. It's just that he's talking about Ksivas Besula is Doraisa, and he thinks that Ksivas Almana is only Darabana. Okay? So you have really three options. Ksivas Doraisa, Ksivas Darabana, or in between, Ksivas Besula is Doraisa, and Almana is Darabana. So it says Tosfos, Rav Nachman Amar Shmuel. Eitan, you had a question?
Okay. I had a possible idea, but I'll do it after the Tosfos.
Oh, you know, you can be. Yeah. Ideas are good.
Sammy and I were discussing that maybe we could read in the Rambam when he talks about Deraita, he brings up Hafkat Znut, and when he talks about Derabanan, he talks about Harchaka Min HaGerushin. And we were wondering if maybe we could kind of include this, that also the Rambam holds that for Betula, it's Deraita, and what is it? It's the Hafkat Znut. And that's what the Rambam holds Deraita. But for this Derabanan thing of Harchaka Min HaGerushin, that's only Derabanan, and that's more applicable, right? The Hafkat Miznut is less applicable with an almana. We're less worried about that because she's already a Baal. But for the almana, the reason why we have a ketubah is not for Hafkat Miznut, but for the Chakamina Gerushin. And then that's the ketubah that we have for her. That's Derabanan.
I don't think so, because the way the Rambam formulates it in terms of the, like, the Doraisa component is universal, right? It doesn't limit it specifically to like Vesula or an Almana Vechule. Like, he makes it just like a fundamental part of Ishas. So I wouldn't make that Chakira, although it is interesting, right? According to Rabbi Gamliel, why would a Dafka be Doraisa for Vesula and only Darabanan for an Almana, right? Especially according to the Rambam, where, right, the idea is universal. Rachel is asking, after Shir on Sunday, by the way, yesterday almost always means last Shir, right? I just don't count days without Shir. So whenever I say like, oh, yesterday, it probably just means last year. Because, you know, a day without Shir is like, it's not a day at all. So she was also asking that question, what, like, we need like a lower level, level of commitment by an Almana versus a Besula. So I thought that, you need a lower level of commitment, right? But I guess the sort of idealism that goes into a marriage, right? Like the first, you know, relationship, you think it's going to last forever, and then you're heartbroken forever, you know, when they break up or you know, the mizbeach is morid mos, you know, when a first marriage breaks up. So there's this like assumption at the time of marriage, you know, that it's going to last forever and they're going to live happily ever after. So therefore, the level of money, let's say, that would indicate commitment to it, right, is higher. While in like a second marriage, it's like move on may love, that they're going to have like a prenup that states very clearly like what's happening to all the money and to all their assets, you know, if they get divorced. Right?
It'd be so weird. I think this was in the second paragraph, but I don't remember anymore. I rather got the impression that the reason that an almana vechule get like doesn't need quite as much money in the ksuba is because we want to encourage people to marry them, and because otherwise nobody will marry them. Because remember, there was the bit about the Beis Din of Kohanim who demanded this really high ksuba for their own daughters.
And then
it went back and forth. They were putting it up and down because first people were like, eventually people didn't want to marry them because they were too expensive, and they were saying, oh, I'd rather take this and this because it's cheaper. So I think that's part of the consideration.
Yes. Yeah. Very good point. Also. Right, you don't want to build too much of a, you know, disincentive or of a barrier to Yishas. Ringing it towards like why would one be like Doraisa Darabanan? So the idea that like it needs to be, I guess that's sort of Shem Gamliel might be saying, oh, you know, Midoraisa, it has to be manifest in this like monetary sense, Dafka by Basula. Right, because you know we expect you to be committing to like happily ever after and to like assume that you know everything's going to work out forever, you know. An alman who's marrying an almana, let's say, right? We assume that we know that they, you know, they're a little bit more jaded, and therefore we don't require, we let them write a prenup, or right? We know, understand that that's part of the picture. It doesn't mean they don't have to have the same level of commitment, but the manifestation of that commitment can be done a little bit more of a, a hesitant or more jaded perspective on life. Well, that's getting us a little bit further afield. But maybe this is connected,
but I've noticed, it seems whenever, like very often when they say almana, it doesn't just mean almana, but also almana and grusha and probably gerus and et cetera, et cetera. So I was wondering why specifically halacha like picks the almana as the prototype for one of these women. Like, is it because there were no, like very few divorces back then or what?
Oh, I don't think so. It doesn't sound like that from the Gemara necessarily. It's just like a good example of someone who was previously married and like there's no like, oh, they, you know, they got divorced and you know whose fault was it, or like, you know, if she's a ba'ula, you know, but she was never married, so like, you know what, it's just like, okay, right, she's an almana. Right, it's a very reasonable position to be in, right? So it's just like there's no, you know, other factors that you could start throwing in if you're like discussing. I think that's why it's like a good clean case of like, okay, you know, like, I mean, again,
why do you feel it's cleaner than a divorced woman?
What? Because in case of divorce, so you could always, you know, again, this is not necessarily, not that she's cleaner. I'm saying like the case is cleaner, right?
Yeah. Why is it cleaner? Why do you think the case is more convenient?
It's always more convenient to have disgruntled parties dead than floating around on the margins, right? That's a good yesod, by the way, for a lot of things. You shouldn't terminate anyone who gets in the way of, you know, whatever activities, business activities you're into. But having like, you know, former business partners, let's say, floating around, bad mouthing you, trying to undermine you, is always, you know, always makes things more complicated. So,
but then what about, like, you but, know, but then what about the Gioris then? There's no disgruntled party there.
No, Gioris is totally like random. I mean, Gioris is like, is really, I mean, get into that. I don't know if we, is it called public service? I'm not even sure if it comes public service, but that's totally random. I mean, Gyarados is just, isn't really even a fair case. It's just like kind of this like blanket rule that we apply, but in theory, Gyarados should also get Matayim.
What do you mean, right?
In theory, Gyarados, who's a Basula, theoretically should. We just kind of have this blanket chazaka, like low plug of like, you know, like we don't know what's, until you're like part of Klai Yisrael, we just sort of like say like, okay, we don't know what's been going on. It's kind of this black box of like, you just suddenly appeared out of nowhere. So we don't know what's been going on, where you come from, you know, what you've been doing in your life until now. Because kibiyachol, halachically, you actually just started to exist, you know, from like 5 minutes ago. So,
but in that case, why don't we say that she has a chazaka of a psula? If she was just born 5 minutes ago, why should any bulas count that happened before?
No, because I don't know if it would count. Let's say if we were talking about like as like a halachic status, right? But as like a physical status, right? We just don't know. Again, I don't. You know, that's like its own sugya. And then there's like, you know, Gyarados Pchusim Bas Gimel then would, and also that you have to like, I don't know, whatever, biologically. Again, I was talking with Rachel was asking a lot of these questions, like, you know, how much, like, in terms of biology in the Gemara, do we have to accept, or do we know it's true, or should we start reading up medical journals? I don't know.
Biologically, maybe, I don't know if this is a stupid question, but biologically, I've always wondered if a man can really tell that a woman was not a psula on the first night.
Yeah, how, I don't know. I think it happens to be biologically, it's not always, it's often not true. The Gemara actually addresses that also. It says like certain families are like, you know, just not true. It depends a lot on genetics. The Gemara gets into that. But that's it. We're all getting very far afield from today's topic. So like when that comes up in the Gemara, I guess we'll talk about it more. Yeah, fine. So let's just continue and focus on this because that's the Wednesday. I don't want to go too far off topic. So Toso says, okay,
is Ksubah d'Oraisa d'Rabbanan? Can I just clarify something that you said? Yeah, I know, sure. I know you want to move on, but I just, one point, you said something about making a, like this chazaka being a distinction between a physical status and a halachic status. Mm-hmm. I was surprised that you said that, you seemed to say that it was a physical assumption as opposed to a halachic assumption. Can you just?
I'm saying like if for it gets into GRS, you know, can you ask me after share just because it's like a whole sugya in and of itself. So ask me after share. Okay, so Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Shmuel, Chachamim Tiknu, Mashma Diksuva Derabana. Okay, so Tosa says, okay, right, sounds from this Gemara that the maskana or the mainstream approach in the Gemara is Ksuva is Derabana. Mechin Bisha Rabban Yivamos, Gabe In Laksuva. Right, so the Gemara in Yevamos, when it's talking about ksiva for Yevama, right? He says, okay, why is there a ksiva? The whole reason is because, and therefore X Y Z, right? Alma stama dehashas savar deksiva derabana. As the Torah says, oh, so you see that the mainstream approach of the Gemara is that ksiva is derabana. Vikasha. That's difficult. Why? Dinahagu lichtel b'ksuva kesef zuzi matan dechazi lechi midoraisa. Right? Because in the ksuva we write that this kesef, this matan kesef that you deserve or that is coming to you midoraisa. Right? So how do we write in the ksuva that's doraisa if the Gemara paskins that it's a rabbanan, or the Gemara seems to imply that it's a rabbanan? Right? The Omer Rabbeinu Tam. Disamchinan a Rashbag. So Bino Tam says, we're so meich on Rav Shimon ben Gamliel. Okay, interesting, right? He says, okay, yeah. Right, sounds like that Rav Bino Tam saying, we paskin like Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, that ksuva is doraisa, right? And therefore, even though, you're right, there are other parts of the Gemara that seem to imply that the maskan of the Gemara as a whole is ksuva derabanan, we paskin like Rav Shimon ben Gamliel. The masnisin the perik basra, and we don't hold like Rav Nachman, right, who's saying that it's Rabbana. Dishkachna Rav Ashi, du basra de palagalek in tzakman ba brisa. Tani koshel o mushmash inu yachol liton tennis besulim. Alma dechayish, right? Shema mishaker. The Lorem Rin Chazakin Adam Torak Vesuda Mafsida. Which Rav Ashi basically says, like, we don't really trust him to make this claim that he knows that she's not a basula after Bia Rishona, right? It's just not, it's not that clear cut, and therefore we wouldn't trust him. But you see that the issue that Rav Ashi's bringing up is assuming that we're not really going to trust him to be mafsid or k'siva. Why? Because k'siva d'oraisa, so therefore you need a much higher bar of evidence to be poter yourself from it. V'chein pirsha ben Yitzchak ben Rabbeinu Meir, the Rav Ashi paragraph Nachman, v'hadam rinish misha rabba, my time atiknu rabbanan k'siva, hachi perusho, my time atiknu rabbanan k'siva, hicha detakinu, kimo ba'almana, shalotei kala bein avlotziya, hachanam itakinu shalotei hei, kidei shei kala bein avlotziya. Oh, it's tafka in that case, right? That's where we're gonna have. Oh, meaning what? Meaning, says Tosfos, that we pass k'siva d'oraisa like Rosh Hashanah ben Gamliel. Okay? However, okay, the Shita Mekubetzas brings a Shita Yeshana, and he says, right, Mikol Makom, Rosh Hashanah mehara k'siva d'rabanan, k'iven d'rav Nachman, shubasra, hachi sfir lay, v'chein mashma v'isha rabba, v'kasha, d'nagu l'ch'tev k'siva, kesef zuzi matan, d'chazi lechi mid'oraisa. Right? Same question. V'omir Rabbeinu Tam, d'samchina n'rav Hashanah ben Gamliel. Rabbeinu Tam says, you know, we're following Rav Shem Gamliel. It's not because we're passing like Rav Shem ben Gamliel. Ella. The parish de ha'olam nahagu licht of Cain b'ksuva, kidei lahachmir b'dine ha'ksuva, kidine ha'olam v'samchor b'shem ben Gamliel. Okay? Meaning what? It's not that we paskin like b'shem ben Gamliel. Ella, ha'olam nahagu licht of Cain b'ksuva, kidei lahachmir b'dine ha'ksuva, kidine ha'olam v'samchor b'shem ben Gamliel. He says Rabbeinu Tam didn't say halacha k'Rav Shem ben Gamliel. He said samchina k'Rav Shem ben Gamliel, right? That was lashon here also, right? Omer Rabbeinu Tam samchina k'Rav Shem ben Gamliel. So it's not really that we think the halacha is like Rav Shem ben Gamliel. Right? Rather, we're being so much on Rav Shem ben Gamliel. Okay? What's the problem with that? Or what's that mean? What's going on here? Yeah.
Me?
Yeah, sure. I was actually pointing you on. I need a way to...
Oh, I didn't see. Sorry. No.
No, it's fine. It's fine. You can take it. It's all right.
You guys can rock, paper, scissors.
I can wait. No, go.
Okay. No, I was just gonna say, like, if we don't think that the halacha is like him, like, why are we being so make on him? Like, if we think halacha is like a certain way, we should paskin like that other halacha.
Right. Yeah, I think it's right. It's very strange. Like, what does that mean? If you think the halacha is like, you know, it's like, let's say chachamim, right? So let's paskin like chachamim. We paskin like chachamim. So why are we being so make on Rav Shem ben Gamliel? And it's not like anyone... Now, when do we have this sort of lashon?
I'm guessing we have this lashon only for psula, right?
No. I'm saying, like, in general, in like shas, like, what sort of... When do we use this sort of language?
Normally for kula.
Yes, right. But kula for shas chak, right? We say like, oh, we're being so mech on this sheet. We really would should pass in this way, but it's a shas chak, right? We have a kula and we're being so mech on, right? So here we have the opposite, right? We have a chumra. Ha'olam nagu licht of kin b'ksuva, kidei lahachmir b'dine ha'ksuva, kidine ha'olam, v'samchu ad Rav Shem ben Gamliel, right? Ilav hadar Rav Shem ben Gamliel, if there was no shita like this, lo hayu kosum king, afilu kudei lahachmir. We wouldn't just make up this chumra, right, of treating it like it's d'oraisa if nobody thought it was d'oraisa, right? But since Reb Shimon ben Gamliel thinks it's Doraisa, we're being stomach on Reb Shimon ben Gamliel in order to treat it like it's Doraisa. Okay, like it kind of sounds cool, but like why? Why would we do that? What's that even
mean? I'm looking at Mike Suba, and Mike Suba says Midrabanan only.
Really? Okay, I mean, so it depends. Certain, it's different eschaos. There are different eschaos. Some say, you know, some say Chazi Lechi Midoraisa. Some Shito say to take that out. You shouldn't write that. There actually there are two different eschaos. The Rambam that we have, the printed Rambam, says Chazi Lechi, in his Lashon Aksuva, says Chazi Lechi Midoraisa, which I think is super gishmak, right? Some eschaos, some of the Kisveyad have it with Chazi Lechi and Doraisa, and some have it without.
I have Chazi Lechi Midrabanan.
Cool. Okay. I mean, different Ksuvas, right, have different things. They're different Mihugim. It's like, it's very strange. There's like all sorts of, there are all sorts of different like Minhagim out. How to write the Ksuva and like what formulated in it. That's cool though. I should go check mine. Yeah. Like, why would we do this? Rachel. Or Chaya, Chaya had her hand up first.
Thanks. I'm kind of wondering, like, is this a case where we let social engineering get into our sort of halachic public policy and then make ourselves, like, is this Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel thing, like, kind of making us feel us, but I was totally there at that meeting, but trying to make us feel better about it, like, that was, like, sort of my gut reaction. I mean, what I really wanted to ask is, like, what I don't know so much about like shteros, and I'm curious about what the sort of connotations of putting something untrue in a sort of non-essential part of a shtar would be, which is related. Sorry.
Yeah, it's a very good question. That's a little bit we're going to touch on that.
And then additionally, sorry, third thing, before you were saying it's weird because usually we say samkhinan, this kind of lashon for a kula, and here it's a chumrah, but is it even a chumrah if it doesn't have any like real life concrete ramifications, at least at this point? Like, this is, yeah. So I'm not even sure if I would frame it as a chumrah. I feel like I would frame it as like a little detail in a shtar that is just not factual and like, but could have been true, but isn't true. Like,
okay,
I know it's not that black and white when you have a machlokas. Sorry?
Yeah, so good. Meaning, what are the stakes, right? Meaning, like, Rabbeinu Tam, or Tosu says, like, oh my gosh, we say Chazi Lechi, Midoraisa must be Doraisa. You'd be like, okay, well, what are the stakes of having that in the Ksuba? Maybe that's not such a big deal, right? Number one, right? Number two is like, what's this Chumra? Let's say, if you think, oh yeah, like, there's machlokas. At some point, some people thought it was Doraisa, and therefore they wrote it that way. We don't think that way, but like, we're not going to edit like the standard text because like, it's very low stakes. So like, why bother? Or like, we're not going to start changing everyone's tzuva just because at some point some rabbis thought this way and some, now most rabbis think it differently. Should we change the way we write the shtar? So Chaya's saying, well, wait a second, what's the, you know, what's like, let's say the cost, what are the stakes, right? Number two is like, is it really a chumrah? What impact does it have on the tzuva bichlal? In order to say like, oh, it's a chumrah, right? Why do we also, number three, I guess, is also the Shita Mekubetzes, or the Shita Yeshana, is framing this as some sort of like, I would say social engineering, right? There's some engineering going on. Question is it social engineering or halachic engineering? Where we're saying, oh, we want to create this situation of X, right? And because Reb Shimon Gamliel exists, ilav had Reb Shimon Gamliel lo yukosim ki. We wouldn't have written this. We wouldn't have been able to do this engineering, right? But since Reb Gamliel says it and paskins that way, so we don't necessarily paskin that way, but right, we're able to use that or to you know, build upon that, right? But the question is again asked, well, what are we building on, right? What's this chumrah that we're going out of our way to do, especially if the stakes. If the stakes are high, so we're messing with the ksuva, and what if it makes it puzzle? So we're gonna be so mechan Reb Shimon Gamliel to like write something that's wrong and puzzles it. Let's say, right? That would be like if the stakes are high. If the stakes are very low, and it's just like a random, not true phrase, right? So why is it so important to us to put it in and be so mechan Reb Shimon Gamliel l'chumra if it doesn't have any impact? right? So it's kind of a catch-22. If it has a big impact, then the stakes should be really high and we shouldn't be messing around. And if the stakes are really low, so what do we gain by putting this, oh, some claw or Rishon Gamliel in? Yeah, Rachel. Can I unmute? I can ask you
to unmute. Sorry, that was technical difficulty. It kept going to other, I don't really know what I was doing. Sorry about that. I'm not really adding anything new. I was just surprised by the word halacha, which is similar to what you've already been saying, because it doesn't seem like we're describing halacha here.
Specifically. Right. Or like, all right, halacha. Well, I think his point is that Rabbeinu Tam doesn't say halacha k'rem Shimon Gamliel. He just says samchina. Right? And there's this idea of like, oh, we're like somech on something versus like what we think like the halacha mikra din is. Yoni?
Yeah, was there ever a time where people like en masse were just not being very careful about having a ketubah, or like, you know, not being careful about protecting like the rights of commitment and stuff? Because it seems to me like when would this be instituted where there would be, you know, so many if I'm running a wheel, would it be like convince people like, okay, this is a very stringent, we're being very machmir with ketubah, because you guys aren't taking it seriously. It's deraisa, you know, so to speak. There's a sheet that says it's deraisa. We have to be careful.
Right. So that could be. I don't know of one, but it definitely could be, right? Like we go back to like social engineering, that that's like a social engineering attempt. I think it might be more of a, in some ways, more of a halachic engineering attempt of what we're saying, right? It seems to be that we're kind of trying to hit this sweet spot of saying, look, lemaisa, it's not daraisa, right? We don't pass in that way. But the shita that it is daraisa, right, reflects something that we really believe about the ksiva, right? So let's just do another shita, and then we'll come back to the shita and kvetas and try to formulate it together. Tosos and sota has a different formulation than Tosos and Ksibis. Ish ish l'rabos cheresh, about can he be do kinoy and steer of his wife. So nira di ikar kra lo itzrich ela leosra lebal ulebawel. Aide kinoy ze. Aval leposlam iksuvasa, the pasuk that he could do kinoy and steer, the kinoy, right, is that it creates an iser, right? Not that she would lose her ksiva, both of which are nafkaminas of sota, right? Because lo tzarech kra, you don't need a pasuk to say that she would lose her ksiva. Tahafilu rabbi shem gamliel omer de ksiva ksivas isha deoraisa lav mamish deoraisa ela isla smach deoraisa. He says even rabbi gamliel, who says ksiva deoraisa, right? So this is kind of flipping the opposite way, doesn't really think that it's deoraisa, right? What does he mean? He means that it's a smach doraisa. Kidamrinan Hasan, mikan samchu chachamin luksuvas isha min haTorah. Right? Meaning what? Says Tosas and Sota, even Rav Shimon Gamliel, who says ksuvas doraisa, doesn't really think that it's doraisa. Right? He thinks it's a smach doraisa. Okay? There's like a ritva in Moed Katan, I believe, who says, what's an asmachta? It says that the Torah kind of advises this. Okay, it's fascinating words. But he says, an asmachta is the Torah says, I think the Torah says this is a good idea. But you don't actually have to do it. It's like advised. Okay? Right? And it's like, what? I'd really rather you would. Okay? The Pastafarians, who knows what a Pastafarian is? Everyone knows what a Pastafarian is, right? Of course. So the Pastafarians have the 8 I'd really rather you wouldn't. Okay? They believe that the flying spaghetti monster has commanded them with 8 I'd really rather you wouldn't. Right? They're not mechayev, but there are 8 things that he'd rather you wouldn't do. Okay? So kiviyachol, the Ritva says, an asmachta is an I'd really rather you would. Right? Kadosh Baruch Hu is saying you don't have to do this. Right? If it's a mitzvah, so you have to do it. You don't have a choice. An asmachta is where it's like implied, you know, that God would like you to do this. We don't have to. Okay? And then a lot of us smachtas, like, come and say, well, if God wants you to do it, then you better do it. right? Even if he didn't tell you you have to do it, if he wants you to do it, you got to do it. Okay, that's the way the Ritva explains asmachtas. And the point, though, is what? Asmach d'oraisa means that the principle, the concept, the value is d'oraisa, right? Even though it's not actually a mitzvah, it's not actually mechayev. Okay? And I think that's a huge, huge concept. Now, is that the same as what I'm saying, we've been saying, for, or what my father says about the Rambam, or different? Yeah, it's rock, paper, scissors.
Go for it.
No, you can take it as long as I've been before.
He puts in separate mitzvot, so the Chora, he thinks it's a mitzvah, actual commandment, not just an asmachta.
Exactly, right? For the Rambam, it's actually part of the mitzvah, right? It's a chiyuv. The manifestation, right? The exact way to do it, right, is not is only derabanan. But it's actually a mitzvah that you have to have the lisa isha b'ksav of a kiddushin. What Tosfos and Sota is saying, it has a smach doraisa, it's a manifestation of a doraisa value, but it's not an actual doraisa kamin, right? It's not a chiv of the mitzvah, it's not part of the actual mitzvah. It's an asmachta, it's a value that the Torah would like you to do, right? Or that the Rabbanan see as being a Torah value, which the Rabbanan then come and say, oh, you have to do. But fundamentally, it's actually not, right? It's not part of the mitzvah, okay? I guess it gets, you know, between the idea of like, we have values that you should do, and then there are laws which say you have to do something. Yeah, hi.
This is like a huge can of worms, but what does that imply about what, was it the Ritva who said, who understands that way? Was it the Ritva?
But I think you were trying to say this is a huge can of spaghetti, but yes, carry on.
Oh, excellent point. So, if the Ritva thinks that a derabanan with an asmachta means like chachamim to say to do this and God likes it too, what does the Ritva think a regular derabanan is? How does God feel about those?
No, God likes it, right? God has authorized and in fact commanded chachamim to be metakin all sorts of stuff.
But
right?
but the specifics though, the particulars, God doesn't care about?
Particular? No, usually, first of all, sometimes the chachamim could say, look, this is a value. Right, and this is a value reflected in the Torah, and we're saying that this is an appropriate way to manifest it, and we want you to, and we require you to do this, right? But the Torah didn't tell you, I would like you to do this. I mean, you have, God told you, you have to do this, right? God says he'd like it if you would, right? And then the Chacham Sen said, it would make God happy, you better do it, right? You're chayav to. Then you have things where the Chacham say, this is a manifestation of our Torah values, right? And the Chachamim are telling you to do it. Right?
Mm-hmm.
It's like the difference between if I ask you to do something, right? And I say, oh, could you please, you know, I don't know, can you please put some sauce on the spaghetti? Right? Okay. I could say, thou shalt eat thine spaghetti with sauce. I could say, oh, it'd be really cool if you ate your, you know, if you ate your spaghetti with sauce. Or it would be really cool if you put a pasta strainer on your head for your driver's license. Right? And then we could also have, you know, the Chachamim could come and say, look, like, clearly we value spaghetti a lot, right? We're telling you that you should go and you should have spaghetti at least once a week.
All right. Right? So we're saying, basically, the Torah has values and particulars, and normal derabanan is the particular has no manifestation in the Torah. Normal doraisa is the particulars are in the Torah, and sorry, I'm just like adjusting to this new paradigm of asmachta as the value is very much there. The particular is a suggestion, and then chachamim sort of what's it called? Like concretize it, solidify it as law. Interesting.
Yeah. Now this is not universal of this kind of model. Whether you think that's true about all asmachtas or some asmachtas, right? Again, is its own can of spaghetti. But and you know, that's not universal, but this idea that you have doraisas, right, where you're chayv to do it, and you have things that are kind of implied in the Torah or valued in the Torah kind of explicitly, right, or implicitly, but you don't have to do. And then you have things which are manifestations of Torah values, right, which you should be doing or you could be doing. And sometimes the Chacham say, make that a mitzvah derabanan, let's say. And then further, you have things which are takanos and gezeros, because we want to be doing social engineering and we want to make sure you don't accidentally do this, right? There are things on Shabbos which are aser because they're just not appropriate for Shabbos, right? Even if technically they're not an actual malacha. And there are things on Shabbos which aren't really, there's nothing really wrong with them, but we're just very worried that you're going to, if you do them, you'll end up doing something different, which is bad, right? Those are two very different things. So I'd say like doing a malacha with a shinui on Shabbos, it's not just like, oh, we're worried that like, if you turn on, if you, you know, do malacha with your elbow, so then you'll come to do it with your hand. No, doing malacha with your elbow is not appropriate on Shabbos. It's not it's a shinui, so it's not an explicit issu d'oraisa, right? But fundamentally, it's like a malacha, right? Conceptually, it's part of the problem. It's part of the problematic, and that's why the Chacham say, you know, don't do that. I don't know. I'm trying to think of a good example. But let's say, okay, yeah. How about the requirement to put up like a kora or a lechi, right? That makes like a clear dividing line between the Rosh Hashayachid and the Rosh Hashanah. Is there to remind you not to walk out into Rosh Sarabim, right, and do Hotzah. We're just worried that if you're in a place which is Rosh Sayachid, but it's very easily accessible to the Rosh Sarabim, you just won't notice that you're walking into Rosh Sarabim, right? We're worried that you won't notice, okay? By the way, asterisk, right, the example of Kera and Lechi and like Mavui and stuff obviously can be a lot more complicated, okay? Yeah, Yoni, question.
Yeah, when we say that it's an asmachta, are we talking about the actual document of the ktuva is an asmachta? Or like going back to the chiluk that we made in the Rambam, I don't know if the same chiluk would apply here, but are we saying like the idea of commitment is an asmachta, or like the document, or like which elements of it?
Good. Okay, so that's also a good question. Like, how extensively is it, you know, an asmachta? I would say this idea that it's like, that's a good question. I don't know 100%, right? How much is it like, oh, that you should have some sort of, you know, protective element here, and the Chacham decided that should be a ksiva, but the smachta is that you should have some sort of protection, or is it no, right? It's kimohar habsulo, so it's kimohar chamishim kasef, this monetary obligation of this meaning, a meaningful amount of money is, you know, is dafka the asmachta? I mean, the asmachta itself happens to be already on money, right? Kimohar habsulos for knas. So that would kind of imply that the ksiva itself, even like in terms of the actual monetary chiyuv, is part of the asmachta, right? So I would suggest that it would include the actual ksiva, not just the value behind it. Okay.
Right. Now, like, is there even? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Sorry, I was going to ask. Is there even a chiluk between the actual document and the idea of having like the commitment, the marriage of commitment, according to the Shita? It seems like maybe they're even one and the same.
Right. Yeah. I'm not sure. Right. I think he's just like, oh, this is the asmachta. Right. If we go back to the Shitim Kubetzes, so there I would say that. There I would split between them, right? Because what's the Shiti Mukbetza saying? Right? The Tosfos in Ksuva says Ksuva is like an asmachta, it's an asmach min haTorah, right? And it's just like this value that the Torah basically implies that you should be having this kind of, you know, actual heavy monetary protection in place. While for the Shiti Mukbetza suggests, or the Shita Yishana understanding of Rabbeinu Tam, is that the value of a ksuva, right, as like a Torah, this idea of the protection of the ksuva being like a Torah value, right, is broadly true, right, and therefore, or you know, it's a value. It's hard to, you know, necessarily place it in a Torah. But we see it as like a Torah value, okay? And therefore, we're like somech on the sheet of Rabbi Shimon Gamliel that it's actually d'oraisa because we see it as a real Torah value, even though the actual ksuva, the monetary manifestation of it, right, where isn't necessarily a Torah value, right, or isn't necessarily like specifically, you know, anything like even an asmachta, but we kind of use Rav Shimon Gamliel's shita that it's doraisa as a way to emphasize and to manifest and to sort of upgrade the fact that we feel that this is a value, and saying not only do we feel that this is a value, but Rav Shimon Gamliel thinks that the actual monetary ksuva is doraisa, right? So you see, it's a real, real value. Get it? Meaning, with this idea of like, oh, samchu al Rashbag, why are we being somech on Rashbag? And the answer is, well, this Rashbag is saying that we're bumping up the ksuva, right, from just like, oh, is this like random takana that Chachamim made because they wanted to do some social engineering, to no, this is a Torah value, right? We happen to not think that the actual ksuva is doraisa, right? But we think that the value that it reflects, right, is you know, is something that the Torah values very strongly. And therefore, even though we don't think it's doraisa, right, we're going to rely on Rav Shimon ben Gamliel in order to like up the strength or up the significance of the ksuva, exactly how we'll get to next year with the Rush. But to say, look, this ksuva is really halachically significant, right? And is significant in the eyes of the Torah, right? And we're using the shita of Rav Shimon ben Gamliel. Say, Rav Shimon ben Gamliel thinks it's doraisa, right? And if Rav Shimon ben Gamliel thinks it's doraisa, so then even though we don't think it's doraisa, you see that it really has a lot of meaning and a lot of significance min haTorah, right? In terms of the Torah's values, even if it's not an actual chiyuv or even necessarily an asmachta. Okay, so basically right now we have three approaches, right, in between the extremes of ksuvas d'oraisa legamri and ksuvas d'rabbana legamri. We have this, the sheet of the Rambam in the middle, that mid'oraisa, the manifestation of commitment, right, is d'oraisa. The fact that that's manifest, how you manifest it, is only in terms of as money, is d'rabbana, okay? And in theory, according to the Rambam, you could have alternatives of manifestation, right? Obviously not once the Rabbanan were talking ksuva, then anyone who's pochis min ksuva is intentionally trying to limit the level of commitment, and that would be osa bilas o bilas nas. But fundamentally, the commitment is d'oraisa, and the manifestation as a monetary commitment is d'rabbana. According to the shita, according to Tosfos, the idea of it being doraisa is this idea of smach doraisa, right? Something that the Torah kind of wants you to do, but isn't mechayev you to do, and the Rabbanan come and make it a chiyuv, right? Now we based on this idea of asmachtos of the Ritva and Moed Katan, the idea that asmachta is something that you're supposed to do, you ought to do, you don't necessarily have to do. And finally, we have the Shita Mekubetzes, right, which cuts more towards even further to the Rabbanan side, right? And that really, we're, you know, Shimon Gamliel thinks it's doraisa. We don't think it's doraisa, but we're so mechan Rav Shimon Gamliel to emphasize that this is a doraisa value, right? Even though the actual document, the actual monetary ksuva, is itself a construct of the chachamim, right? But it's a construct of the chachamim that does, you know, does dovetail or is, you know, an expression of a Torah value. Okay? Okay, we're going to stop here because it's Wednesday and I don't want to go overboard. And we will continue on Sunday with the shitos of the Mordechai, the Rush, and the Chasam Sofer, as to all of which have interesting formulations of what exactly the balance between the Doraisa Derabanan are, between like the Torah value and like how much is like a mitzvah and a chiyuv, and how much is it, you know, a little bit more abstract and derabanan. But we'll stop here so we don't go too long.